In 3, 2,
Oh, talking over the intro makes me feel much more professional.
And saves me so much time from editing in our voices over that.
Welcome to Tech Talk Radio.
Hello, Emily Wright.
Hi, Sam McClary.
How are you, apart from excited about that intro music?
I'm excited about more than the intro music. I'm distracted because we've got an array of new gadgets here in the studio.
A studio that gets ever more professional.
As we get ever less.
Yeah. You can't have everything in life, can you? Mm. But you can buy stuff.
You can buy stuff. I wonder who's keeping an eye on Roland's buying stuff account. Although, yeah, it is all for the greater good and it makes us sound better.
Yeah. So, yeah. Well, thank goodness for that.
Thank God for that. Carry on, Roland. Yeah. Carry on. Before we delve into what is so distracting today, and there's always something to be distracted by, isn't there? It is worth flagging this week's Tech Talk Radio interview, and it's a really good one. Not that they're not all good, but definitely, definitely worth listening to. So I have spoken to Mihir Shah, who is the co-chief executive of JLL Spark, the innovation arm of JLL that launched, I can't believe this, nearly a year ago.
Hmm.
And I remember speaking to him on the phone at the launch. He's ex-senior executive of Groupon, who joined, and they're based out in the Bay Area. It seems like
Swansea Bay.
What?
No, sorry.
Swansea Bay?
Yeah. No, San Francisco. Sorry.
Okay. Yeah.
Carry on.
San Francisco. I'm sure there's a button that I can press that will play a noise that's appropriate for your joke, but we haven't got to that yet, so
no.
I'll carry on. So they've done a lot in the last year, and as of this week, they have announced the launch of an $100 million PropTech fund, which is so exciting. I know I overuse that word, but it is really exciting. We've seen similar things from Fifth Wall, but to see it from a company like JLL Direct is a real step forward, I think.
Yeah, absolutely. And we've seen lots of property advisories invest in tech, haven't we? But not as far as I'm aware. And if we are wrong, please someone get in touch with us, launch their own.
Yeah.
And put all the money into it.
Mm. It's really exciting because it's global, and anyone listening very carefully, which of course our listeners, I'm sure, always do, will notice that I slipped up a bit in this Tech Talk Radio. Like me. Mihir was really nice about it, didn't even flag it, but it is the global, it's the JLL's global fund, and I asked him whether it was going to be global. So apologies for that, both to Mihir and to the listeners who spot that, and if you weren't going to spot it, well, now you will. But that is what makes it so innovative, I think, and so interesting for everybody listening. You know, when Fifth Wall launched theirs, it was very much a North American fund, and they have expanded into Europe, as we now know, but it was, you know, first and foremost a North American fund. So to launch, you know, from the get-go global shows how dedicated JLL is to this. And as Mihir said, you know, JLL's a global company, so it needed to be a global fund. And he also reveals in this podcast that they've already made two investments. I mean, they're not, you know, not waiting around, and they are in discussions with at least three UK companies.
Ooh.
Hopefully all three of those UK companies are listening.
And they'll come on the show.
Yeah.
Well, let's not give it all away, because people will need to listen in and see what kind of companies they're investing in, and look out for your faux pas, which will be very exciting for me, because it's usually me that makes the mistakes and says things like an acronym.
And then if you were to say that, I could use one of the buttons on this new gadget that I have. An acronym. Yeah.
Yeah, it's sad. So what, Emily, if this is a reason for people to come in and be on the show, another reason.
What, slow clapping to get them off?
No, they can.
Oh, God, let's just leave that one in.
Yeah. Yes. No, that we've got new gadgets for people. Not only do you come in now and sit in a very professional-looking studio where you get a very exciting mic in front of you. Is a mic exciting? No, it's not. A very professional.
Less exciting
mic.
Now, it's not so dangly.
Yeah, well, it sticks up now. and now we've got headphones, so we're like real DJs. Yeah. I mean, there's nothing for us to mix, but you do have almost a mixer in front of you in the shape of an iPad with buttons on it with different kinds of sounds.
Yeah, we've got great sounds. So we have this. We have this if we need to fill any awkward silences, which frankly with us is not really a problem.
It's not going to be used.
It's more like we need something to shut us up.
Yeah.
And for that, I'd use this one that I don't think we should use anymore. It's a bit... So this is meant to be a cassette. Now, firstly, I don't think we should use it because, you know, this is Tech Talk Radio. Yeah. Cassettes are like so 1983.
Yeah. We have a mini disc player.
Yeah. But listen to this. Cassette or...
Ooh.
Someone loading...
Cocking a rifle?
A gun. So I don't know about that one. Anyway, yeah. I won't play it again.
No.
And we have a couple more. We've got this. That's if someone says something funny. So I, you know, if that ever gets used after anything I say, I will take it as a personal victory.
Yeah. I mean, I expect it to be used after everything I say.
Yeah.
Well done. Well lined up.
Yeah. Thank you. My personal favourite, which this was a Sam McClary creation, wasn't it?
Mm-hmm.
I didn't know about this.
So there you go. So there you go. So there you go. So there you go.
And it goes on forever.
So there you go.
On a loop.
So there you go. So there you go.
Oh, God, I hate the sound of my own voice. Well, it's a good job I don't do podcasts or anything.
Yeah. If, for those of you that didn't fast forward as soon as you knew what the interview was, thank you for sticking around for that. It will be time now for the interview, but then we'll be back afterwards with some exciting news.
See you in a minute. Hello, and how are you? Phoning all the way from San Francisco, is that right?
Yes, sunny San Francisco. Great to be here.
Oh, well, thank you so much for finding the time to have a chat to us. I think the last time we spoke was just under a year ago, and that was around the launch of JLL Spark.
Right. And a lot has happened since then. It's been amazing to see just the plethora of tech startups and technologies that have started to come into the space.
Nearly a year on, it's a perfect time to have another chat, and it's not for no reason. There's been a lot of exciting stuff happening over the last year or so, as you've said, but today we're talking because we want to find out more about a really exciting development, the launch of JLL Spark Global Venture Fund. Congratulations for a start. That's excellent news.
Thank you. Yeah, we're really excited about that. We're launching a new $100 million global venture fund. And the goal of the fund is to invest in tech startups that are trying to improve everything from real estate development and management to leasing and investing, while really enhancing the experience of those who occupy real estate.
How long has the fund been in the pipeline? It must be something that you've had to, you know, get some ducks in a row on for quite some time. Can you talk me through that process and when you sort of realized that this was the direction you wanted to go in?
Sure. So a few months ago, we announced the acquisition of a company called Stessa. And Stessa was a small company focused on the long tail of real estate investors, really helping people that own a small number of rental units manage their units. These people have mostly been using paper and email and spreadsheets to really manage these properties. When we made that announcement, it was amazing how many other startups came to us wanting to talk to us about how we could help them. And as that came together, we realized that there was a great opportunity to create a fund where we could invest in these startups and then also help them with distribution and feedback from both JLL Services and our clients.
In terms of launching now, is there a reason that now seems to be the right time, or was it just a natural progression from thinking about this after that acquisition and how long it took to get yourself into a position when you were ready to go?
For us, it's a natural progression. As you know, when we talked last, the point of JLL Spark was really to accelerate JLL's position in digital real estate services. And so we started doing that first by learning about the market, understanding what are the big themes of technology that are going to really be transformational here. And then that led to the Stessa acquisition, which has now led to the launchment of this fund.
And in terms of when the fund is going to be launched, you know, the announcement of the launch is today, but presumably is that ready to go now, active, hitting the ground running?
Absolutely. It's live today. In fact, we've already committed to two investments in startups. We can't talk about them yet because the startups are not ready to announce their funding, but we're hitting the ground running.
And you said just then that you can't say who those startups are, what they're doing, but we do know that you're going to be looking at seed and Series A investments, as well as a few that are in later stage rounds. So can we assume that those two initial investments are in seed and Series A companies?
Yes, they're both early stage companies. That's correct.
And so how is the investment working? Is it sort of solely coming via JLL? Are you working with any other companies or partners?
Yeah, so at the moment, JLL is a sole LP. In some ways, that's great because it allows us to move much faster. And that's beneficial to the portfolio companies as well, because we can get them into JLL services and our clients and get feedback and distribution for their products quickly.
And as I mentioned before, it's a focus on seed and Series A investments with some later stage rounds. I believe the typical investment size will range between a few hundred thousand to several million dollars. Is there any more detail on that, on a sort of a more specific lower level and more specific high level investment?
No, I mean, that's the general range. Our criteria, besides the focus areas that I just talked about earlier, are really to find great, high quality entrepreneurs that are driven, and businesses that we can help. The way we think about it, to give you a little color, is there's technology startups on one side, and we've seen that distribution is particularly hard in this industry, and deployment is even harder. On the other hand, we've got our investor and occupier clients, JLL Services, that are really looking for us to provide them a filter, if you will, of all the emerging technologies and what should they use, what should they go after. And we see the JLL Spark Global Fund as the bridge between the two.
We talk an awful lot on this podcast and with people in the tech side of the industry and the property side of the industry and at many of our events. I think you and I spoke about it the last time that we did a podcast, is that there is an awful lot of noise that comes with the very exciting progression of tech and prop tech reaching a more mature stage. So how do you, I mean, presumably the bridge that you're talking about is to try and facilitate siphoning sort of off the best companies for people to be looking at and the best ideas and the best innovation to try and cut through some of that noise.
That's right. So the bridge has two functions. One is to do exactly that, which is to filter out of all the noise and all the companies, what are the best technologies and the best products to work with. And the second is that, having identified those, to really create a concrete set of programs where we connect these companies and actually get them trials and distribution, and then create value for both sides of that bridge.
And how will those programs sort of come about? How will they look? Will it look a little bit like an accelerator type program? Is there going to be sort of stages to it?
Sure. So a couple of things we're going to do. One is we're going to create something called a growth team. And this growth team will have experienced product marketers and business development people on it. And the goal of this growth team will be to work with portfolio companies of the fund to help them get introductions, to help them hone their value proposition so that they can get trials and feedback from JLL Services and our clients. And they'll be measured by that, which is, I think, somewhat unique from a venture capital perspective. The second idea that we're working on is something that we call building labs. And this is the notion that we'll create a set of buildings in top metros around the world where we will be able to fast track the trial of new technologies, thus overcoming some of those sales cycle and deployment obstacles, so we can get quick feedback on whether this product's working or not, how you might evolve it to get product market fit. And those are just two ideas that we have today, but I'm sure as we evolve and the fund evolves, there'll be many more.
Great. And in terms of those hubs around the world, is there any more detail you can give on that? Are they the ones that people would expect?
Yeah, I mean, we'll go after the top metros. So it'll be pretty obvious which ones. It's very early stages. We're just sort of seeding the program today.
Okay, great. And you spoke then about
you know, the access to JLL's clients, which makes such a lot of sense. Presumably, have you found that the reaction to this from the client base has been sort of universally positive?
Yeah, I mean, I think the client base, from my experience, having sat in on some meetings with both investor clients and occupier clients, is really asking us, you know, hey, you're our partner. Why don't you help us determine from this landscape, as you mentioned in the, you know, in the podcast earlier, of all these startups coming on board, how do we determine which ones have real value, right? Which ones are here to stay? Which ones will be able to scale? So if we invest in their technology today, they're going to be around 5 years from now. So it's a great fit. They're telling us what their requirements are, and we're going out there to try to use those requirements and those unmet needs or the pain points that they have and identify companies that match them.
And are there any sectors that you are particularly focusing on, or that by default it seems like there is a particular opportunity for digital transformation?
There are a few sectors that have sort of bubbled up to the top, right? Obviously, the interesting thing about innovation is sometimes an entrepreneur comes to you and pitches you an idea and you've never thought about it before, but you're still amazed by it. And that's something you really look for. But there are certain proactive areas or themes that we're going after. For example, a lot of people are trying to figure out what to do with smart buildings. And the idea that these buildings are generating all this data through IoT devices, et cetera. And what if an algorithm could come along that could take all that data and efficiently provide you with operating gains over the next 10 years? Or we're looking at the area of workplace experience apps, which is something that a lot of our corporate clients are asking about, where you hand an employee a mobile app and it allows them to interact with their building and their environment for access, environmental control, et cetera. We're also interested in looking at something like blockchain and how it may simplify the process of both owning real estate and transferring ownership and closing transactions and that sort of thing. So there are certainly themes that are emerging, and we look for startups in those themes, but then we also wait to see what kind of innovation people come up with on their own.
And I was going to ask about the geographical reach of the fund, and was going to ask, is it going to be a sort of starting off as a North America, US only fund? You're going to be looking at other areas around the world, but then you mentioned your metros. So that would suggest that you are looking globally.
That, I think, is another unique aspect of our fund. It is global from day one. And the reason for that is JLL is global and our clients are global. And quite honestly, since the Stessa announcement, what we've seen is we've had startups come to us, even though we hadn't officially announced this fund that we're announcing today, asking us about, you know, would you invest in us? Could you help us? And we see that coming from all over the world. So absolutely, it's a global fund, and we're considering investments all over the world.
And here at EG and on Tech Talk Radio, we try to be as global as possible, even though we are based in the UK. But we are based in the UK. So what is the view of UK prop tech and UK startups from JLL Spark's perspective?
I can tell you that there are at least three startups in London right now that we're in conversations with that have promising technologies. I think there's a lot of potential for startups in the UK itself. London is obviously a massive real estate market, so one of the top markets in the world. So there's a lot of room to innovate, and I'm very excited about the startups that are coming out of the UK.
I'm sure our listeners will be very pleased to hear that. You've talked a lot about, you know, the trends that you're looking at and the sectors that you're going to be looking into, which is great. And as I would have expected, there's an awful lot of mention there around the commercial side of things. So offices, workspace. What about the resi side as well? Is that a consideration, or are you focusing more on commercial?
Sure. So our operating tenet is we invest where we can add value. So to the extent that our clients or JLL have residential investments or what we in the US refer to as multifamily,
yeah,
right, which could be considered commercial, but obviously the units are residential, mm-hmm, right? We will invest in things, those types of things, where we have a business where we can help those startups. That's the operating criteria. So if there's a market in which we have no multifamily or residential business, then it may not make sense to invest in a startup that's targeting that particular area in that market because we can't add value, and that's our goal.
And how are you poised for today and tomorrow and the next few days? Are you ready to field interest and a huge volume of calls? I imagine you're going to need to be.
Well, I think we got a preview of what can happen with just this Tesla announcement, which is not a $100 million global fund. So we are sort of bracing for that. And we're a small team today, but we're growing. We're building out the infrastructure to be able to really, you know, get the connections with the best startups around the world and to sort of help them going forward.
So a long day for you, probably a long week. Probably a long month, a long year, but all for the greater good. And I have to ask, you know, it's been a year or just under a year since we first spoke. You came from, you know, positions as, you know, senior executive at Groupon, involvement in, you know, very early stages of Uber. You know, when it comes to tech, you know your tech. But coming into the property sector, it's been nearly a year. How have you found it?
That's a great question. And, you know, no matter how much people tell you, you don't really know what to expect until you're in it. So I'll share sort of two observations. One is, as far as JLL itself is concerned, it's been great to see how open everybody is to trying new things, to trying new technologies, even though the company has been around for a very long time. So that's been a very positive experience. The other thing I'll say is, especially I would say in the last 6 months, it has been invigorating to see the number of technology entrepreneurs we're meeting and all the kinds of ideas they have. I mean, that's really our passion. Both Isha and my co-CEO and I have really spent the last 3 years angel investing in a lot of technology companies in the Valley, not prop tech. And for us, our passion is to really work with entrepreneurs. And when we're in a room with an entrepreneur that's got a vision and has some exciting technology to back it up, that's where we get really excited. And that has been happening more and more in the last, say, 3 months compared to even 3 months before that. And so it's been very exciting.
I'm really pleased to hear that. So it's almost been a year working in the property sector. I think one of the things that is said the most about the real estate world is that it is painfully slow to adopt. Some people have come up against that and said, well, is that really fair? Has there been enough to adopt? And, you know, I think that was around a year ago. People were saying that finally the technology and the innovation that the real estate sector so desperately needed to be able to innovate was available. Now that you've had nearly a year of experience in working with the sector, what are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, I mean, look, just trying to get a sector that's been doing things the way they've been doing things for a while. And obviously, it's been a great run for the sector, right? If you look at the last 8.5 years, it's been a fantastic market. So trying to get people to just adopt technology for the sake of technology just doesn't work, right? You have to actually come, if you're a startup, with a clear, hopefully quantifiable value proposition that's hopefully truly transformational, just not just incremental. And I think now we're finally starting to see the seeds being planted for the kinds of technology that can be truly transformational, where when you're pitching it to, say, an investor client of ours or an occupier client, they can look at it and say, wow, if this were to work in the way you're saying it would work, I can't imagine living without it. And that's what you need from technology to come into an industry, any industry that's been doing things a particular way for a long period of time, and expect people to adopt it. You can't just come with small incremental features and expect that you're going to get a ton of adoption quickly.
Great. And finally, if there was one message that you want our listeners to go away with today, following the launch of this fund, what would it be?
One message. If you're an entrepreneur, we really want to work with you. We want to support you. We want to help you build your company. And if you're an investor or an occupier of real estate, we really want to understand what your pain points are, where you think technology can really help. And then to the two of them together, we want to be that bridge.
And what's the best way for anyone listening to get in touch with, whether it's you or somebody else in the team? I mean, we can give out all of your contact details, but maybe that's not ideal for you today.
I mean, they can contact us through, it's not difficult, right? There's LinkedIn, there's the website, the JLL, it's just easy to do.
Yeah, if they want it bad enough, they'll work it out, I'm sure. Great.
I'm sure.
Thank you so much for joining me today, and good luck with everything. Congratulations again on the launch, and I look forward to hearing more. Oh, actually, no, I do have one more question before I go. I can't believe I almost didn't ask. Obviously don't want to belittle any of what you're doing today. It's absolutely enormous, and I'm sure that, you know, you're very, very busy with a $100 million fund. But will there be plans, do you think, for follow-up funds, or is this the first of many?
Well, here's what I'll say. I think this is the early innings of this entire sort of tech transformation of the industry. For us, you know, this is the beginning, and I think we hope to be a participant in trying to help that transformation happen. And then as we learn more, you know, we'll see what happens.
Brilliant. And I really am done with my questions now. Mihir, thank you so thank you so much for joining me today.
It's a pleasure. Pleasure. Thank you.
I'm going to do it. I'm going to press the button. Hang on.
So there you go.
I mean, I can just say, so there you go, and not sound like I'm at the bottom of a swimming pool.
Yeah.
But it's fun. Anyway, so in all honesty, so there you go.
Yeah.
How cool is that?
Really cool. You did mention at the beginning of this podcast that you made one slip up, but you actually made two, didn't you?
I mean, what is $99 million between friends?
Oh, no, it's nothing. I mean, it's $99 million.
It's not $99 million.
It is 100 minus
one. Oh, my God. I do not know what is wrong with me. It's like something out of Austin Powers. I need to kind of, you know, $100 million.
Yeah.
It is $100 million.
Not $1 million. I mean, $1 million is still a lot of money. But it, not that much.
Not in a minute.
$1 million.
Good. I don't think that was meant to be for a joke. But anyway, no, I mean, and I corrected myself very quickly.
You did.
I don't know what it is. It's a funny thing that got into my head.
Do you know what I think it is? It's because your head is filled with all of the submissions that we have had for the tech awards, which have been phenomenal.
Yeah, I mean, you joke, and yet you're probably absolutely bang on. I mean, it is, I'm excited and pleased, but it has turned into a much bigger job than I was expecting. We thought, oh, you know, launch the tech awards, it'll be great, we'll have, you know, nominations, entries, have a bit of a buzz around it. I can't believe it. We've just been absolutely inundated. We've had, you know, and we did actually extend the deadline, but it is now sadly closed. But there will be, from the looks of things, there'll be tech awards next year too. I mean, fingers crossed. But it's brilliant. We've had nominations in. We've had people nominating themselves, people nominating other people, companies coming forward, and, you know, big companies, small companies, tech companies, property companies, startup, some of the biggest companies in the world. It's brilliant.
It's so, you know, we should do a shout out for people actually to say thank you for nominating yourself or others. You know, it's a first time we're doing this award. It will not be the last, but it's I think it's quite humbling that people really want to get an EG Tech Award, and I think that is testament to the work that you've been doing, Emily, to sort of turn EG into that place where we try and bring property and tech together and talk about, you know, how tech is helping people do their jobs. It's not something to be afraid of. And if there are the scary things, you know, like we talk about techies being much better at failing than property people, then we'll hold your hand through that and teach you how to fail successfully. So yeah, thanks to everyone for entering.
Thank you.
And we should say as well, it's gonna be a really good night.
It will be a really good night.
We have all sorts planned. There's going to, you know, obviously there's bubbles and there's beer and there's canapes. I know it's called canapes, but I like saying canapes. And it's an awards event that's actually quite cheap.
Yeah,
£49 a ticket.
Yeah, I know, that is cheap.
Yeah,
cheap as chips. Are we having chips?
We will now.
Chips and dips
and yeah. Tech.
Yeah.
For £49.
What
is not to love? And Emily and I will be there.
We will.
We might even be there with a roving mic. Who knows?
Yeah.
with our headphones on and the little iPad with the noises.
And only drinks that come with lids, because we've had that absolutely drummed into us, whether we're in the studio or not.
Yeah.
Drinks with lids.
But no straws, because that's not good for the environment, unless they're glass straws.
Okay.
Or paper ones. But if you do want to pick up one of those very good for value tickets, then you need to go to egi.co.uk/, I might have got this wrong, Tech Awards, but if you Google
EG Tech Awards,
it will come up. And please do come along, because we would love to see you. And if you are nominated, best of luck to everyone.
Yep, best of luck, and hope to see you on the night. Very exciting. It'll be fun as well. 10th of July, nice kind of midsummer, probably be a light drizzle. Look forward to seeing you there. And actually, speaking of terrible weather, last Tech Talk Live event, 1st of March, blizzards, snow, thanks to everybody who made it again. We do a lot of thanks on this show. Our next Tech Talk Live is a mere week away, 12th of June.
Next Tuesday.
How you can use data to get closer to your customer, end user, occupier. Data, really important, quite scary, still very difficult to define. We're going to be trying to help out on that, and also provide, as usual, some breakfast and some decent coffee.
All for free. Again, we are so giving,
aren't we? Do you think we should give people back their time?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Sorry for abusing your ears for probably an hour.
If you're still listening, we can't return it to you, but we can set you free now. So thanks so much for joining. I bet you can't wait for next week.
Oh.
And
so there you go.
And outro.
We can talk over the outro too.
We probably shouldn't though.
Okay, well, sorry.